Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Thursday, 24th October 2019. We are at Brother Teo and Sister Padmasuri's house. Let us get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the spiritual qualities of Sadha Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can visit it, then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarpa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyantang puja bhajana mottamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi Buddha. tang kusumena nena punena matena chohotu mokang pang malayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Gem. Buddhang pujeme. Dhammang pujeme. Sanghang pujeme. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of meditation, silent inner awareness meditation. Always remember, just relax body and mind, then silent everything. The moment you are silent without thought, you are starting to train your mind to develop the silent mind. So the two support is very important. The first two support, relax, maintain awareness. So when you silence your mind, relax, maintain awareness, and just let your mundane mind or thinking mind to slow down or settle down to realize your original state of mind before the stirring of mind, before the thought arise. So when you can allow that to happen, you will realize your true mind. Then you will know what that true mind is all about. That true mind is a nature within you. We call it the true nature. Some call it the self nature. Some also call it the Buddha nature. But you need to realize it. Silence everything until it becomes so quiet, so still. When there is no more thought activity or thought movement, then the nature within, which is just aware, you will start to understand. That one is not dependent originating. That one does not need any sense data, does not need any consciousness to arise. That one is eternal life, is there all the time. Living beings can't develop the understanding is because they fail to realize this self nature that is within. That true nature is what meditation is all about. Without that mind, you cannot meditate. That's why you need to realize that mind. Then basic understanding of mind is very important. That you have two types of mind. And your mind can only do one thing at a time. When it is preoccupied with the thinking or lost in thought, it cannot be aware. The moment you are aware, you are just silent without thought. That's why you can be aware of the reality. You can be aware of what happened within that moment. Whatever that arises within your form and mind, the awareness has the ability to be aware. So to meditate is to be with the true mind, the silent mind, to develop the understanding of what is going on within your form and mind. So with that understanding, I will allow you to meditate on your own. I will set the alarm, then after the half an hour is up, the alarm will go off. Then I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully, come on the meditation. Just relax, maintain awareness within. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, we will turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Now, pass the mic to Amy.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana
Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vicca charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma Masarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho ยายาปะติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปะติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวสังโฆยะติทังจัตตาริภูริสายุกานิอัตตาภูริสาภูกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดาเคเนโยอัญจาลิกาลานิโยอนุตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกาสาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค let us pay respect to Pujam บันดังพุทธเยมิดัมมังปุจเจมิสังฆังปุจเจมิโอเค you all can be seated just relax body and mind we will continue with our second session so second session is meditation reporting yeah maybeThis one is it too near the camera? You push it further away. Oh, put to number one also can. Yeah, put to number one. Ah, okay. I think should be okay now. Put to number one. No need so loud. Ah, okay. More quiet. Huh?Because too near the camera, the fan, the vibration. Okay. We will open up for Q&A, plus meditation reporting. Anybody who wants to report meditation or ask any question, you can put up your hand. We will pass you the mic.Anybody? That side also nobody. As usual. Either you don't have question or you are shy. Okay, then maybe we go through the last Thursday class outline short notes. October 17, outline, short notes. We go through that one. Point number one. Adam shared that during his last Thursday's meditation, he felt itchiness on his ears and nose. And he inquired, what should he do?Vettel advised Adam to investigate into it, to develop the understanding as per his earlier advice to him. So I used to tell you, just relax, aware, then let things be. And do not label the sensation as itchiness or pain. That is, just relax into it and maintain awareness via the awareness-based meditation to develop the understanding. This will allow for acceptance of the reality within the moment, instead of suppressing the sensation through not wanting to react to that tactile sensation. So initially, I remember when he reported to me the other Thursday before, I said, "What do you do?" Because he asked me, "What should he do?" I say, "You ask me that question, I answer you, I become gullible and you never learn. Because you want answer. Every time you look for answer or instruction." So I asked him, "What do you do?" You know his reply was, "I do as per brother to advise." Then I asked him, "What did I advise you?" Brother Teo said, "Let things be." Oh, you quote me correctly. But how do you do it? The way he replied, he like don't want to bother about it. Like suppress the itchiness, yan. I said, that is not the way. When I say let things be, mean accept the reality. When you don't know how to relax, when you are not aware, the sankara activity will arise. Your habitual tendency take over. You label it as itchy or unpleasant sensation. And that is a mental hindrance. That's why your mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Then when this happens, you're supposed to find out in the meditation how it makes you like that. Then he start to listen. I say, let things be means whatever sensation that arise, just relax into it. Then maintain awareness. So when you relax into it and maintain awareness, what happened? You didn't create mental hindrance, isn't it? When you don't create mental hindrance, there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state, isn't it? That's how sati take over. That's how you enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness with sati. No need to do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness. Without mental hindrance, the spiritual faculty will take over. And when the spiritual faculties are there, mental hindrance cannot arise. That's how you meditate. Then after that, you're supposed to continue to allow that silence to arise the understanding. He doesn't understand that part too. I say when you are able to relax, maintain awareness until that silent inner awareness arise, means you can realize your true mind. That nature within which is aware. But initially, because it's just a glimpse, you have not stabilized it, you have not had it for long enough period, you can never understand that. Where your thought is actively trying to come out, trying to surface. A lot of sankhara movement activity, and you don't know how to relax and maintain awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. I say the true meditation only begins when your awareness become very stable, when that silent mind become very stable, you truly aware. Then you know what happened or not, I said. That's why he said the tactile consciousness, actually he quoted me. Then I said, when you are completely silent, then you can be aware of what happened. The itchiness comes from the tactile consciousness. But how did it condition you to label it as itchy? How does it condition you to have that very strong desire to scratch? Or to overcome that so-called sensation that you don't like, the itchiness and other things? You're supposed to see all this. And when you see all this, you will come to understand how you function as a human being. As a human being, what do you have? Within your physical body, what do you have? What do you have? Your six sense bases. Understand? So because you have your senses, upon contact with mind and sense data, consciousness come to be. That's how you input the content of consciousness. Most cultivator, before the wisdom or the initial wisdom arise, you will react and stir your mind. You will input the wrong content, your habitual tendency, your wrong view. That's why your mind cannot be peaceful, cannot be calm. So when you start to see all this in the meditation, means with your silent mind, you start to understand who are you, what are you, and how you get yourself entangled with all this mental hindrance. And how does it condition you into mental negativities? Then how you attach, cling, grasp, and become unhappy. That's how it conditions suffering, misery. Then you start to see clearly the law of dependent origination. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya viññanam. Then at the moment of viññanam, you can be there before the input of the content. That's why you must be silent enough, mindful enough to see all this content of consciousness going in. Then how the thought arises, the birth and formation of thought. Then how thought, conditioned by your views, opinion, has its emotion there. That's how feeling becomes craving. All your emotion are your craving, the duality and all those things. So meditation is to silence within, to observe, to be aware of what is going on without words, as it is. Then after you go through, you come out, you reflect, you contemplate, you will understand what all these are. When did the egoic mind come in? How come it come in? How come the habitual tendency can have power over you? How can thought has power over you? You can see them like conditioning you to do things. It's like they have power over you. They control you. They control your life. You are supposed to be the host. The host means what? You are the owner of the house. You are the host. The guests come and go. Your servant, which is your tools, your vehicle, your form and mind, or we call it the servant, they work for you. Where they are your tool, your vehicle. The form and mind is karmically conditioned for you to come to this world to serve you. So you are the host, you are the boss, or you are the owner. So you make use of them. Not the other way around. You decide your life. That's why the user of thought, the user of this physical body is very important. If you know they serve you, you cannot be tormented by them, deluded by them. A good example is what? Let's say you become successful. You become the boss of your company, of the company. Or if you are a householder, means within your house, maybe the husband is the head of the family, or sometimes the wife is the head of the family. Then you hire, nowadays maybe you are temporary maid, isn't it? Or your maid, or somebody to work for you. What happens if the maid climb over your head and make you miserable? Means you don't know how to make use of the maid or servant. Then, like in the company, last time I used to work for a developer consultant and also contractors. But contractor, I was there for a while only. Then when I was with a client, listed company, I saw my MD and all those things. What happened to your staff? They bring the problem back to you. Then you hire them for what? That's why I used to tell my staff. I also told my MD actually. Actually, we are here to manage, isn't it? We hire people because we need them to play all this role and do all this work, isn't it? But instead of playing their role and doing their work, they bring the problem back to you. And you gullibly go and listen to their problem, then get angry, get miserable, then end of the day, say all those things. Then if that staff is very, very cunning or very smart. Because a lot of staff, they see the boss reaction on. So there was one guy, the ED, he very good at looking at this one. Then he like instigate the boss. Because he know the boss don't like people to say his company is lousy, cannot deliver. So whenever he bring the problem back, after discussing for a while, he will say, yeah, the client say we all, our company useless. Simple thing like that also cannot manage. Oh, the boss get angry. Then the boss himself involved with the project. Take over from the executive director and the project manager. Like that, you hire them for what? Clear or not? Your form and mind is the same. Karmically conditioned now for you to come to this existential world for you to use, to serve you. But you allow them to make you miserable. Control your life. Condition you to do this and do that. Is that the way to make use of them? So I always tell people, I hire you, means on behalf of the company, is to do work, solve problem. You don't come back to me with more problem, understand? You only come back to me for what? Authority, understand? Financial authority or decision that you cannot make at your level. You come back to me. Otherwise, you don't come back to me, understand? I hire you to bring back problem to me. Then I myself take over your job. You understand? But the form and mind inside there, if you don't know how to manage them, it's exactly the same. They will play you out. They control your life. They condition you to do a lot of funny things. Not to say they really so cunning and so smart can do this to you. It's not them. It's your own delusion. You grasp, you cling, you hold, you attach, and you believe what they tell you. That's why meditation is to have the clear awareness within, the clarity of mind, to be aware of what is going on. Then when you understand what is going on, you will not be so gullible anymore. You will not be so stupid anymore. You will know how to attend to things. Then like I always say, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is entirely our choice. If we choose to be happy, we will be happy. But why are most living beings not happy? You mean they don't know how to choose? It's not to say they don't know how to choose. They don't know this teaching. They don't understand that they are the host. They are the awareness nature within. And they can develop the understanding through meditation to understand clearly and live life, means make use of the thought. The user of thought with wisdom and right view and right understanding can use thought. Then it can arise the right thought, the appropriate, virtuous, wholesome and good thought. So all this Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, right speech, depend on the user. If the user have right view, then thought become right thought. Action become right action. Speech become right speech. That's why the first Noble Eightfold Path factor, most important one, is Samadhi, right view or right understanding. So this right view is very important. Right view with regards to the Pancha Niyamas, especially the three spiritual law that governs life and existence: Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama and Dhamma Niyama. So when we understand this, we will know how to live life, we will understand life, then we will know how to apply the Dhamma. Then the Four Noble Truths, you can investigate into them. Then when you meditate and investigate into them, then you will come to understand that they are so beautiful, where they stand up to investigation. Then later on, when you come out of your formal meditation, in your daily mindfulness also, you have to see. In the daily mindfulness, it's even more difficult to see if you don't have a very stable daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom. But the moment your mind stir and react to sense experience, you cannot see. You are already gone. Lost in thought. Conditioned by the defilement. But when you have the initial wisdom and the awareness, especially samadhi in the midst of life, upachara samadhi, then you can be at the moment of sense experience. Then this initial wisdom will prompt you with the understanding, and you will not stir your mind, you will not react, you will stay equanimous. That feeling can remain as pure feeling. It will not condition craving or emotion. That's how you become stable. That's how you can maintain peace, attention at the moment of sense experience. Then your nature take over, your nature decide, your nature act according to wisdom, your nature accord and flow with understanding. Your nature means your awareness together with the wisdom. That nature, before it awakened, the wisdom connected to the form and mind, the form and mind don't know how to act. That's why that nature need to awaken first. Meditation is to awaken that nature, to develop the wisdom born of the direct seeing, the awakening. And once it's developed, because the form and mind is connected to it, it will no longer be fallible. It will no longer be deluded by the phenomenal world. That's why it will understand. It will have the understanding to deal with things. That it is no longer affected by the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's the reason why they can be at peace. That's why the form and mind, after it has the understanding and the awakening, you can say it's enlightened. But it's not you. But you need this to live life. And when it lives life with this understanding, it will not suffer anymore. It will become beautiful. You get to experience the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You can live the life of an enlightened being. That's what meditation is all about. So meditation is not to look for special psychic ability or special powers or special mind state, fantastic experience of meditation. Those type of meditation is not the one the Buddha taught. The meditation that the Buddha taught is for you to awaken to your self nature, to insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics to understand clearly who are you, what are you. The impermanent characteristics of the five aggregates of form and mind, leading to suffering when you attach and cling. And because it's impermanent, it is not real, not you, empty. That's why it's non-self. So through all this, you awaken. That's the reason why meditation is just to relax, aware, maintain the silence without thought within. Then the heedless thinking or the mundane mind, it will start to slow down if you don't give it any more negative energy or thought energy via delusion. You can just let it be. It will cease. You know why it ceases, isn't it? Because it is dependent originating. It is not there without condition. When condition arises, then it's there. And what are the conditions that condition it? Activity, sankhara. The first link is avijja paccaya sankhara, where you still have avijja, mainly self-delusion. That's why sankhara is active. So when you know it's because of avijja, you develop the straightening of view through what? Through understanding mind. The basic understanding of mind is very important, that you got two types of mind. One is the mundane mind, which you need for living life. The other one is the true mind. The true mind is a nature within. It can only be detected when your thought ceases, when the mundane mind does not arise. Because living being can be at any one moment, do one thing at a time. Either you think and get lost in thought, or you are aware without thought, to be with the moment, to have the ability to be aware of whatever that is going on within the moment. And that is seeing things as they are, seeing truth, seeing reality. And that is what meditation is all about. That's why to meditate, you must realize the silent mind. You must start from the true mind. That's why Hui Ning's teaching, it takes you to the true mind, the self nature, straight away. The first hallmark is no thought. If your thought can cease, that is the beginning of meditation. But it has to be a free mind, not a conditioned mind. People who do concentration samatha, there is no thought, but all in concentration means energy field, locked into one-pointedness of mind, ekagata. That one is jhana, samatha, meditation, energy field. Okay, so we continue, I will read on. Okay. Allow for acceptance of the reality within the moment instead of suppressing the sensation through not wanting to react to the tactile consciousness. Do not allow the wrong thought born of habitual tendency to condition your mundane mind to label the sensation as pain or itchiness to arise, the mental hindrance of ill will. Once the mental hindrance arises, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. If you can do that, then sati will take over, leading to a shift in consciousness to cause the so-called itchy sensation to become normal and peaceful again. The mind will then become peaceful, quiet and still. This is the silent mind, your meditative mind. Use this mind to meditate, to be aware of how the tactile sensation conditions you to stir your mind via your habitual tendency to label it as itchiness, to see clearly how your form and mind function following nature's law. Whenever you are unhappy and not peaceful, for sure the three evil roots are there. within your mind states. Sati is needed for us to have the sensitivity of mind to be aware of such lack of peace and unhappiness, so that we are not drawn further, so that we are not further drawn into such negative emotion. When you do not have the right view, you get caught in sankhara activities. On the other hand, when you are in a meditative state, you are peaceful and free from the evil roots. You can trace the origination factor for such unhappiness and see for yourself the working of the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths is very easy to understand when you reflect on life, when you are mindful and aware. The reality of life and existence, First Noble Truth, the Eighth Reality, is very easy to see, isn't it? Because you have already developed the pariyatti, means the initial understanding of the teaching, the learning of the teaching. Then after you learn this, then when you reflect on life, you will understand what the Buddha meant. Because when you reflect on the Eighth Reality. Birth is dukkha. Why did the Buddha say that? How can I understand? So the inquiry, reflection, contemplation will give you the answer. You will recollect through your life experiences, memory, the birth process and all those things. Then you do for all the other reality. After that, go to the Second Noble Truth. The Buddha said there is a cause behind all suffering. And what is the cause? Craving, born of self-delusion. Reflect, inquire. Why did the Buddha say that? Check. How did you get yourself entangled? How did suffering arise? Well, you give meaning, you attach, you cling, you grasp. The egoic mind through delusion think that you are real and you want to own thing, possess thing. That's how possessiveness come about. Craving, attachment come about. Desire, lust. All these are evil roots. And all this is what the Second Noble Truth is all about. The cause of arising of suffering, born of self-delusion. When you are with the silent mind, you can come out, reflect and inquire without thought, who are you? There is nobody inside there. True or not? Without thought, who are you? You are nothing. Nobody. Because there is just that nature. No word, no concept, nothing. It's just suchness. So when you understand that, then you will understand thought is egoic. That's why you have to develop the meditation to awaken to all this. Then when you awaken, you will know thought is not real. The five aggregate of form and mind are impermanent, bring about suffering, non-self, empty, not you. When you understand this clearly, then your delusion is rooted out. Then it will drop away. When it's rooted out, your mundane mind will have the wisdom and the understanding to live life differently. Then it knows, this is not me. The aggregates are not me. But it is a tool, a very good tool, a very useful tool for me to live life. Then, although it is not you, the five aggregate of form and mind, it has its duty towards the law of nature. Because nature's law governs life and existence. So, five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, the living being, are subject to karma, law of karma. That's why you must understand this aspect. Even though not you, but it is something related to your karmic nature. It's governed by this law of karma. So when you understand this, you will know how to live life. You will not simply do things. you will do your duty in accordance with that law of karma. That's how Dhamma brings forth this understanding. Then we continue, point number three. The silent inner awareness can enable you to see how the tactile sensation we are taught condition you to label it as itchiness, then condition you to scratch. The thought is not you. Why let the thought condition you to do things? From your inner nature or self nature as the host, you can decide not to follow the thought's conditioning to scratch. The thought is supposed to serve you because you are the host and not the slave. You cannot scratch if your body is dead, right? So assume you are dead when you are when you are in a meditative state. Then find out what happened. I found that very useful, that's why I taught you all. Assume you are dead, then only you learn. You know, when you are dead, you cannot think, you cannot do things. Your body cannot move, the thought cannot arise. And then from there, the awareness is the only thing left. And that one understand. But it keeps on stirring your mind. From the self nature, the mundane mind want to come out. Because the tactile consciousness do all these funny things. It's like the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb light up. Where there is this conscious moment, the pure vijnana. But because of most people's delusion, ignorance, heedlessness, they will stir the mind. Where they don't understand. So when you don't have the understanding, when you lack understanding, then you think you are the thought. Then you will react, you will respond, you will stir, you will become emotional, then the evil roots arise. That's how suffering comes to be. I read on. So assume you are dead, then find out what happened. Awareness will understand all this, relax into whatever sensation or mind state that arises. It will finally cease to be because the chi will flow when there is no mental resistance. Then there will be a shift of consciousness leading to peace and stillness when sati takes over. You will come to understand that sensation is condition arising, a causal phenomenon following the law of dependent origination. You can contemplate all this after you come out of the former. Come out from the former meditation. If you are a beginner and you need to scratch, you can, but do it mindfully. Point number four. Awareness can see things as they are to develop the understanding of what causes your mundane mind to stir, to labor, to do things, to become emotional and become unhappy. Sati allow you to see all this clearly. How your form and mind interact with the world following paticca samuppada, the 12 link, or the law of dependent origination. Due to ignorance of the reality, sankhara mental activity arise. One thing to know, you start to think. But thinking does not develop wisdom. However, when you are silent without thought, understanding can come about. Develop wisdom so that you know how to use thought appropriately. The use of thought is the most important. So these are the key points that you have to understand. Mundane mind is needed for living life, but for meditation, use the true mind. The true mind is needed for witnessing the arising and passing away of phenomena. This true mind is not a being, but just a nature within. Point number six. Be aware of how feeling has been stirred due to wrong view, leading to sensual desire and ill will, mental hindrance. That is the reason why you should not labor the feeling. Just relax into any mind state that arises, maintain awareness and let things be, so that sankhara won't proliferate. Sati will then take over and you will become quiet, peaceful and still. The five spiritual faculties are needed for this to happen. Point number 7. Just like the pool of water analogy, bullock cart passes by, the pool of water is churned, and thus the water will become murky. But as time passes by, with no bullock cart pass by, sediments will settle down, and without stirring, the water will become clear. It is the same with our mind. The evil roots will only arise when the mind is stirred into our wrong views. Point number 8. Meditation must be done with understanding. Thus, having right view is very important. This saves you from wasting your time on unnecessary training. With understanding, you progress faster. You can learn from life and Dhamma friends through true sharing so that all can benefit. In the Satipatthana Sutta, everything is about mindfulness. The four foundations of mindfulness cultivation is also about mindfulness or sati. There is no more thought involved. Anapanasati is just an initial training or skillful means to train the mind to be mindful. This mindfulness sati is an enlightenment factor that can be used to investigate Dhamma. That's why you use Anapanasati to train the first enlightenment factor, sati. Then use it to investigate Dhamma. When Dhamma stands up to investigation, your faith is developed, leading to virya. Sati then stabilizes, leading to piti, the fourth enlightenment factor, which is spiritual joy. When you relax into piti, piti become more refined, leading to sukhang and pasati. Pasati is the fifth enlightenment factor. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, your meditative mind, which can really meditate. Pasati is the beginning of true meditation. Pasati is to be stabilized until mind enters sati, leading to samadhi, upachara samadhi. This mind is unwavering and collected. This upachara samadhi is important for living life. At the moment of sense experience, with samadhi, the mind will not stir. This will enable you to see things as they are and see reality or truth. The reason why mind waver or stir is due to one's habitual tendency born of one's conditioning and wrong view. Point number 11. The egoic mind arises because of strong self-delusion. Hence, it is usually difficult for most people to deal with people whom they dislike due to their perceived wrong view and opinion. Their attachment to their loved ones and prized possession are also very strong. Then number 12. Point number 12. How to apply the Four Noble Truths in real life? Sister Tammy chooses the example of relationship issue relating to girlfriend and boyfriend. But later on, she, after the class, told me she had extended to all types of relationship. It's still the same. You can apply it. Then gratitude reminded Kayamita to always remember that you are the host. Don't be gullible. Don't think that you are insignificant. Don't think that you are just very child. That one is the mundane mind before it has the understanding and the wisdom. You are technically that nature within, and yet you don't know. You know who is that nature or not? The one that you never get to see on, the number one up there. Last time the emperor, you think it easy to see the emperor. You heard a lot about the emperor. Yesterday my wife showed me a video about one restaurant worker. Actually the emperor came in disguise to his restaurant. Then he talked to the emperor. he told the emperor about a lot of negative things about the emperor. He said, this is what he was told. The emperor is like that, like that, like that. But he didn't know that guy was the emperor. Because finally the emperor asked him, who told you all this? Did you witness the installation of the emperor? He said, how to go there? Is it so far and so many people? You go there also you cannot see. He has never seen the emperor before. Then he said, you believe what people tell you. So this true nature is like the emperor inside there, the host. You seldom get to see him, understand? Or? You always meet who? The guest of the mind. The kuailan one, the defilement and all those things. All the naughty one. The one that has a lot of delusion. So when you understand that you are the host, you become different in that. You will not behave like ordinary heedless people or ordinary you call putujana. Because you are that status, understand? But the only difference is that host or emperor cannot come out and live life. Understand? But it can really make you wise. It can awaken your nature and give you the understanding and the wisdom. So this part is very important. Always remember, you are the host. So stay with the host, understand? The host is your true mind, is that? True or not? Your true nature. How to stay with it? You have to be ever mindful, understand? Otherwise, how can you stay with it? That's why without heedfulness, ever mindful, constantly meditating, you don't stand a chance. Heedfulness is a must. That's the reason why Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, the Buddha make it so clear. Heedfulness is the most important. Heedfulness. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So to stay with the host, you have to be ever mindful within. Means constantly aware from that nature. Whatever you do, you are aware from within. So stay with the host or the true mind or your true nature or your self nature. Then understand there are two minds. One is your true mind, the other one is your mundane mind. True mind is where wisdom arises. And when this wisdom is connected to the form and mind, this form and mind is no longer deluded. Whereas without wisdom, this mundane mind stir and react to sense experience as it is still deluded. When relationship fail, coming to Tammy's question, the mundane mind stir, causing one to be emotional, jealous and angry. True or not? When relationship become bad, turn sour. That is, it conditions sankhara activity. All the wrong thought, all the emotion, leading to all the mental suffering born of craving, grasping and clinging. And this is where the first and second noble truth reality exhibit. If you already have the understanding of the four noble truths, then you will see them. This is the noble truth of dukkha, reality of life and existence. Not only you go through, everybody go through. Without wisdom, they will suffer. And the cause is self-delusion. They lack heedfulness. They lack awareness. They lack understanding. Then I put there for more detail. Please refer to the recorded video. 17 October 2019. Actually that day the example was very good. Very detailed. You should listen because this Sister Angie, not our Angie, the other Angie. I think she couldn't have the understanding to write them. That's why I edited that paragraph, also didn't say much about what I actually shared that night. But at least if you really go and listen, you will develop the full understanding. Then the next point is point number 13. Silence your mind and feel. And this is very important. Silence your mind and feel. So people used to ask me this question. Who is feeling? I say, I ask you back. Find out for yourself. Who is feeling all this negative emotion? If you use thought, then you are not doing it right, understand? Well, the thought cannot be aware of feeling. To be aware of feeling, do you know what you must do or not? That's why I use the word silence your mind and feel. Don't go and think. The moment you think, you are not feeling. Well, you are using thought to observe. Like people say, I can see my anger. That is not awareness. Do you understand? Who is seeing your anger? You get angry already, your awareness not there, but your thought recall to memory. Understand? That's why I say, I still got anger. Anger was never you. Well, when you are aware, anger ceases to be. You never go through that phase. That's why you are not with it, with that emotion. When you are with that emotion, means your awareness, your true mind, and the emotion, which is anger or hatred or fear or itchiness or pain or whatever it is, you stay. The third way, don't do anything, find out what happened. The moment you are aware, all this which is dependent, originating, condition, arising, phenomena, they cease to be. Then you realize, hey, this is not me. It come and it go. It cease. After it cease, without thought, your true nature is there. But if you have been meditating with the awareness, silent mind awareness, the true mind, then you will know this is what you are all the while. And you know how to use this to be with. That's why Kok Lun learned very fast. He said, Brother, I love your that sentence. Be with it, don't do anything. Then he realized his anger, his emotion, his problem all gone. That's why after that, he realized his true mind, his silent mind. Then he realized that was peaceful, tranquil, still. Then he realized, this is beautiful. This is my nature. How come all this while I don't know how to be with it? And realize this beautiful mind, true nature. When you are with your true nature, you don't have problem, is it? True or not? Without thought, you got problem or not? Without thought, there is no movement, no activity, sankhara, duality, everything. No fear. Fear come about where you project. Fear of the unknown. You go and think, ayo, what happened if I die? Or what happened if my boss come to know? All these are thought projection. But when thought doesn't move, who are you? What are you? You are just a beautiful nature. That's why I realize that. Meditation is to just go into that. Is it that difficult? Many of them tell me, just now in the car, Chin Hao was driving. You know what he told me? But for us, we haven't connect. He used the word connect. I say, why must you connect? He said, that through mind. I say, just relax, maintain awareness, then be patient a bit. It will appear. Initially, maybe one glimpse, understand? Then the thought come in. But you are so eager to know, understand? Not? Eager to progress. Yes.
Yeah, but can I share this?
Yeah. Very good.
I think all the while, I myself was wrongly understood. Meditation is must sitting down, close the eyes, cross-legged. As in the sutta, always go to the jungle or secluded place. Actually, it's not... It's in the daily life, in our every action and movement. If we are in sati, there's nothing that can
correct.
Help us.
You know why they advise them to go and see? Because they're supposed to train sati. Anapanasati, understand or not? That's why the Buddha start with anapanasati. Go somewhere quiet. They need to be trained. You know why the Buddha cannot teach them the one that I teach you? Because this is Mahayana Huineng one, to be Bodhisattva one. That time all going for sainthood way, he did too quickly, like you want to start education. What you need is primary school student first, isn't it? Then lower secondary. Without this, how to go to university? And then straight away you want to teach graduate. Cannot. So the more urgent one is pass Form 5 first. Then decide what stream and what course you want to take. Then go for university degree. That's why the Buddha say, go to a quiet place, sit down and train your mind. But when you go to the four foundation of mindfulness, what did he tell you? Everything is about sati. But of course, under Kayana Upasana, the first training again, Anapanasati. After that, mindfulness of four posture. Then, daily mindfulness. Everything is so clearly stated there. You know? And yet people, like you say, the mistaken idea is not only you. 99.999% all things must sit. Without sitting, there is no meditation.
When we have sati already, every movement, even like
volatile,
blinking of eyes,
you are aware.
Tapping or itchy or whatever, touch your hair.
Correct.
When we aware or hateful,
very different.
There is nothing.
There is nothing. Come into you to disturb you. You are at peace. You can accept the reality. Then you see the conditioning, how it actually make your mundane mind to come out. And so you can see them. Then you realize, why must I arise the mind? That's why I give you that quote, which you quoted very rightfully. The enlightened one, they only arise the thought when they need to. Understand? Otherwise, they don't have to arise the thought. But the puttujana, every day also think one, lost in thought, stir here, stir there, worry about this, worry about that, become emotional. The thought never ends. Understand? That's why you have hardly any space. Without space, you are very tired, do you know? That's how you lost your energy through thinking. In fact, thought energy is the fastest way of draining your energy. If you don't think, you got very strong energy. That's why I rest, I recover very fast. Although I got very little reserve. That's why resting is meditation. Resting is not to think. Relax, aware. Is that difficult? Initially, maybe I explained to Jin Hao just now, I said, because your heedless thinking has been there for so long, your spiritual faculty is still not strong. So what is happening? The mental hindrance take over, isn't it? So you need to allow this to settle down. So how to do it? That's why I teach you the mind swing method and metta to decondition your heedless thinking. But that one, actually, you don't have to do. The fastest way to do is to understand the two types of mind, understand your nature. Then follow the four support. The first two, relax, aware. That's why I remember, not this year, last year, Sister Lee and one group of Kayamita, I think including Christina, you all give me that, like this year one, but it's a different saying. I think terminal. You know what is written there? Silent, relax, aware, and let, he didn't say let things be. He said let it return to its original state, comma. Then you will realize your true mind, your self nature. I better write it down. That one is good. He put it into a frame with the background. Silent. Relax. Away. Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. And let it return to its original state. This one is referring to the mind. Let the mundane mind slow down and return to its original state of stillness, which is the true mind, then you will realize your true mind. Your self nature. This is actually the gist of what you need to know in meditation. So this one, she framed it up. That's why after I took back, I saw, I told my wife, not bad. Then this year she came out with another one. To meditate is to, that one also not bad. Come, read together. Silent, relax, aware, and let it return to its original state. You will realize your whole mind and self nature. And self nature, no need your. Realize your true mind. And self nature. Initially, for it to return to this original state, you must understand different people different. And so, you have your past, you have your faith and your understanding and your spiritual faculty developed. This one can happen very fast. I realize a lot of them, they don't have patience. Because they find that this thought, this thinking mind, like, cannot stop. Initially, I believe a lot of people must have that feeling. But actually, it's not that it cannot stop, because you didn't stop thinking. How can you stop thinking? You cannot say, I don't want to think. Always remember that. Who is saying that? The thought. When the thought is active, when you say you don't want to think, you will think more. It's like when you cannot sleep. What do you do? I want to sleep. When the thought is actively wanting to sleep, that is craving. You cannot sleep, I tell you. When you just let things be, don't do anything, thought loses its power. Do you understand? That's why awareness takes over. There was one part, I think Amy also wrote it correctly. I used to show the bell, you remember? The thinking has a momentum. You understand? Every time you are aware, what happened? It breaks that momentum. You understand? That was a very good one. When it breaks the momentum, to start thinking, actually you need more energy. Do you understand? That's why the people who are ever mindful, aware, it's not easy to think, you know. That's why they hardly think. Then especially when you develop the wisdom, like I used to tell you all last time, think also like that, don't think also like that, then why go and think? Sankara dukkang, thinking is suffering, understand? Why you want to do that? That's why during that time, it cannot think. That's why the mundane mind will cease. You will realize nibbana. But after that, when your mundane mind collapses, when the super mundane mind come out, it's different again. Then you can become normal again. Then you don't go through all those. Because that sensitivity can only happen when the mundane mind is still there. That's why the real arahant, they really cannot really think on. Because to them is a lot of suffering. With the mundane mind, a lot of suffering. I still remember the moment of activity, to just like sankhara movement, to just allow the sankhara to arise, that suffering is so like very intense, Because that time I came out to the private sector, you remember? I try it out because I want to find out what happened. Then I joined a consultant, and I have to learn a lot of things, remember a lot of things, attend high-level meeting, everything. It is really not easy. Then that time I realized I cannot read, no. Reading itself, trying to remember things, is suffering, no. Up here, you can feel it, you know, that sankhara movement and activity. So, to read one page is so difficult. No? So luckily that time, I already developed the experience and the understanding of my job. I no need to read. I only read those that I need the facts. Means like the date. Where when I attend meeting, I have to discuss with the consultant on extension of time and all those things. So I need to know the date of contract, when it starts. Then completion date of contract. Then extension of time and all those things. So those date I need. Then when did the SO instruction issue? Then the contract also say within how many 1 week or 2 weeks, the contractor has to write back to confirm that there is cost and time implication, means they want to claim. So if you fulfill all these conditions, then you are entitled to claim. Then you have to justify your claim. All the same. So these are the dates that I need. That's why I take out a piece of paper. I advise you last time. Write it down. Don't try to remember. Well, the memory that try to hold and recall is suffering. No point. But when your mind transforms, there is no more attachment, no need to hold anything. You just let things be. But you may forget, I tell you. Because especially appointment and all those things. But very funny, you know, during that time, when you need to recall, somehow the condition will arise, then it will recall. That's why I had to ask you, where was I just now? Why did I say those things? The moment you tell me the condition behind, I can retrieve. So I don't have to hold and try to remember. That's why from that nature, it understands. So when the condition is there, it will recall. No condition, it will not recall. Means I don't have to remember. It's in the memory, yes. But I'm not holding on to it. It's like random access memory. When I need, the nature go in and access. When I don't need, it's there. But it cannot disturb me. That's why it cannot make me like, cannot sleep, cannot do this, cannot do that. My mind cannot. Right? Anagami still can be restless. Do you know that? Restlessness of mind is still there. Sometimes they still restless for no reason. But once you go beyond Arahant, all this is. Especially you go the Bodhisattva way. Because form and mind, you understand clearly. It's not you. Karmically conditional, dependent origin. In the meditation, you saw it so clearly. That's why finally, when I share all this, I don't think many of you are aware. Only recently, some cultivators start to understand. We are all along, like, I remember there was one Thursday, you know, after Dr. Jayanta came, then Sri An told me after the class, Brother Teo, for the last almost 10 years, we didn't really understood you. The silent mind. You know. Because they all couldn't understand. They're still doing thought-based. It's not easy. You know, according to Sri Anna, luckily I read that chapter 75, lesson 75 of the Six Page here Platform Sutta book, that sharing. That one was very good. Well, a lot of them asked questions. Engby asked, Adeline asked, and another sister, don't know who they asked. The questions were very good, all about meditation. Then duality, Noble Eightfold Path, and all those things. That's why I like to read that one, because it also has Bodhidharma's teaching. Start with mind, sing wei kenpen. When I read that from the sutta, I was full of joy. This is how I started. And this is how Bodhidharma say, you must start from there. Otherwise, how can you meditate? When you don't know that you have that true nature within, you meditate for what? For psychic, for all the fantastic mind state, good meditation. Meditation is not about good or bad. Meditation is a self-realization, the training of mind to be aware, to understand, then to awaken. Finish. It's wisdom. Wisdom free, nothing else. Not all the psychic, not all the jhana, the concentration, all this mind state, they cannot help you solve problem. No. They cannot help you understand life. Maybe you become famous. No. Apart from that, you don't know what life is. You cannot live life. The Noble Eightfold Path is not there. You don't have the embodiment of all the right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then your sati is not stable. You don't even really know what sati is. Most of the time you are using thought to cultivate. And the real seven factor enlightenment is very different too. That sati is not what people think. Sati is awareness before the knowing, without thought. No words, just aware, mindful. That's like standing, aware. He never says standing, not intending to stand. He very good teacher there. Walking aware, putting on the shoulder cloth aware, turning whatever movement you do aware, just aware. But the word mindful confuses people. It implies a mind inside there. So awareness is not a mind. It's before the arising of the mundane mind. But if you say the mind in fullness, yes, fully aware, without thought. Then it's correct. Mind in fullness. Full of what? Not full of thought. Not full of all the sankhara activity. Full of awareness. Mind in fullness. Fully aware. Ever mindful. Fully aware. That is correct. So this one, when you understand, means to meditate is very simple. Silent here means what? Don't think. Understand or not? Don't think. Or no thought. Or no thought. And this is not easy when you don't understand. When I say silent, if I don't tell you don't think and no thought, do you know what will happen inside there? One thing to know, create thought. Do you understand? Trying to be aware, create thought. Silent means no thought. Don't think. Just let things be. Don't have to do anything. That's why the best way to tell you is assume you are dead. A dead man cannot do anything. Then relax. This is easier, isn't it? Relax means what? Fang song. Relax. Just relax. That's why when you are in the uni, you remember? Near exam time, they see you so tense and work out. Relax lah. And that is the best way to actually make yourself peaceful. So, once you relax, you don't have the pressure, the fear to pass the exam. Where the pressure comes from? The fear of failure. Understand? Where that fear constantly haunts you. Ayu, I cannot afford to repeat. No. Oh, scholarship withdrawn. No. So the thought projection gives you so much fear. Then apart from that, the worst is you very scared you cannot refer paper, no? Or process boleh balik, no? Refer means got chance to repeat one, no? That's why that sense of shame is a fear. And the fear is very, very strong when there is delusion, because your thought will project. But when you relax, silent, there is no thought. Then when you maintain awareness, it's even more easy. Just the awareness nature inside there. But you must be careful. The awareness and the thought is very close together. Understand? Because the sankhara activity, the aggregate, come out very fast. That's why within the stillness and the creation, they are just one line. Very thin. Without wisdom, without the initial wisdom and the understanding, sankhara will arise. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. You need to straighten your view. Then less and less stirring. Then you need to develop understanding. One thing to know, one thing to progress. All these are thought activity. Trying to be aware, trying to be peaceful. Try to maintain silence. That trying is all by the thought. That's why it becomes very active. And these are all come through the back door. Belakang masuk. And yet you don't know. You think you're still meditating. But you are, I try my best to be silent. The moment you try, you cannot be silent. Why can't you be like a baby, newborn? Don't have to do anything. He doesn't know anything. But that one is not meditation. Ah, so fast. We are at number one. I didn't finish it. Okay, I read finish number 13 maybe. Then we stop here. Silence your mind and feel. Who is feeling all this negative emotion? Whatever emotion that arises, just be with it. Don't think. Be with it. Can you understand not? When there is anger, fear, emotion, pain, or whatever, silence your mind and stay with it. Means the awareness and the thing is one. Do it without anything. And you will understand. You have to go through that at least one time. All mind states. Oh, sorry. Just be with it and don't think. Eventually, the mind will become still and quiet. The true mind is none of all this emotion or sankhara activity or aggregate. Always remember. All mind states are conditioned arising causal phenomena, not real, not you. Your true mind is just aware, tranquil, peaceful, and still. You get entangled because you don't understand the true mind and the Four Noble Truths, three turning wisdom. You get entangled through clinging to the mundane mind, thinking that it is real. It is you, through your self-delusion. Number 15. Only through Dhamma can free your mind. The mundane mind is not you. True nature is still and peaceful at all times. It is the unborn. Do you choose to be with the mundane mind or with the true mind? This is a question that Angie asked. You choose to be which mind? Of course, be with the true mind. But you have to use the mundane mind. So using the mundane mind is not with the mundane mind. If you are always lost in thought with the mundane mind, then you get into trouble. That's why to meditate, you must use the true mind. But to live life, you need to use the mundane mind. But don't be with the mundane mind. Be with the true mind. Number 16. Since mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, when mind arises, all things arise. Thus, wisdom is needed to use this mundane mind wisely, or else suffering will follow you as you live life heedlessly instead of following the Dhamma way, guided by the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, maybe I quickly finish it. Determined to be heedful, the wise one intend on heedfulness, and they rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. That is why their mind is always peaceful, tranquil, and still. All the sankhara activity has nothing to do with the host. Always remember that. The true nature has no sankhara activity, no word, no thought, nothing. Number 18. Second noble truth, cause of suffering is craving. It is self-delusion which conditions craving, grasping, and clinging to give meaning to everything that arises, leading to fear of the unknown, like death, ghosts, etc. If the egoic mind makes you think you exist. This personality view will make you selfish, angry, emotional, and fearful. Constantly listen to the Dhamma and contemplate to develop first and second turning wisdom to understand that there is nobody to crave. Who crave? It is this mundane mind, via the thought, which crave. Why did the angry thought keep coming on up? Because you cling to the relationship, believing it to be real. This is the cause of suffering. How to reverse it? This craving is to be abandoned. Understanding is important to abandon this craving. Through the Buddha's meditative way, means the third way and the fourth way, develop the wisdom to straighten your view, to free. Point number 20. With right view, mundane mind will not stir or react. You are at peace. There is clarity to reflect on things. With clarity of mind, you can move on to resolve all issues amicably, following Noble Eightfold Path, so as not to create more misunderstanding and karmic negativity. These are very useful Dhamma understanding. The third noble truth, suffering need not be. Enlightenment or Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. There is light at the end of the tunnel. You should thus go all out to cultivate it and to realize it. Then, fourth noble truth. The fourth noble truth is this Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. When you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factors, then you can say you are enlightened. The application part is more important, especially in daily life. You have to apply all the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths in daily life. When you have questions relating to the cultivation, you should ask in class. Then Brother Theo can share from his nature. What his nature understands is much more than what he has shared. Thus, it has to depend on the appropriate condition for him to share more. It has been beautiful over the past 15 years, as there have been valuable sharing amongst the Kayamitas. After you connect to your true nature, you will come to know your true nature better. This sasana is a very special window, as the consciousness now is still very conducive, and the true Dhamma are still available and present. So at least this wrap up the whole thing. Eh? So if you got question, remember you have to ask. Then when you ask, especially if you are a cultivator, my nature will know. Then the nature will know it's time to share more. That's why over the years, the past, you all maybe 10 years, but the first batch is 15 years. Like Yun Chan, they all. Actually, over the years, a lot of things has happened. Because a lot of things couldn't be taught. You all are not ready at that time. A lot of you are not ready. Then some are with the conditioning. That's why, like Eng Bi, when she finally realized that, because it's through her own understanding too, where she realized finally, yeah, what is the use of all those sitting when you cannot develop mindfulness? When you are not able to be with that silent mind, to be aware, you cannot learn. All these are Dhamma knowledge from the thought. It's not through the silent mind, the direct seeing, the awakening, the understanding that comes without word, without concept. That nature inside understands the movement. Then after that, you come out of the formal meditation, you reflect, you contemplate, that everything tie in, fall into place. That is the real one. Not to go and look for it using the thought. And when the thought is active, it's all knowledge. That's why thought cannot realize the Dhamma which is beyond thought, and that is very obvious. So when you understand that, you will focus on what the Buddha taught. You will chant the salutation to the Dhamma. When I heard the salutation to the Dhamma and the Sangha, there is joy inside me. Yeah, I realize the Dhamma is so beautiful, and the Sangha also, the four type of right, they call it the right, what you call that? Or the, four right qualities. They are so beautiful. That's why there is one, the last one, Samiji Patipanno, of right duty. Is the order of the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. So first one is right conduct. Good conduct, then right conduct. Right conduct is righteous conduct. Good is good. Then wise conduct, that one is very difficult. Once you have the wise conduct, you will have the last one of dutiful conduct. That's why all this you know. If you want to check, then you ask yourself, did you really awaken? Check the four conduct. If you don't have the last one, you are still not the real one of dutiful conduct. Means you cannot differentiate between who are you, the form and mind, and that true nature. You still believe the form and mind is you. But this one is unreal, impermanent, little suffering, non-self, empty. But it has its duty because law of karma is subject to this law. So all this understanding has to be there. That's why the Buddha is so wise. Then this Dhamma is it. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanaiko, leading inward. Pachetang Veditabo Vinohiti. You have to check against all this. Because these are the qualities of Dhamma. If your Dhamma is not Akaliko, Sanditiko, then you are not doing it the way the Buddha taught you. Okay? We end, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will share merit, transfer merit. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. Akkasatta Chavumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakkantu Lokasasana Itawata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, mindfully pay respect to Trupa Jema. Let me add.
Tonight. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you. Whatever happened, like nothing to do with you lah. The world can go to hell also, no problem. Your nature is just, there is no knowing, the truth cannot know. It can be aware, but it cannot know. It's just aware. But when the nature is just aware, it cannot do anything, it cannot come out, and it cannot comment, it cannot say this and say that as well. So, being with that nature, that then you will know you are awesome, peaceful, aware. That nature within is so beautiful. By itself is without problem, without stress. That is tranquility, stillness, silence, aware. That state is so beautiful. Why can't you realize it? And that is the deathless element that one never does. And you are actually that nature. But the only difference is that nature cannot come out and live long. It's not a being. That's why it's called a nature. So realize that. Then your subjectivity, self-delusion about the egoic mind, the thought, everything will cease. But that is the one that makes you free. That makes you think that family exists. You got a mother. But everything is real. But this one is dependent on reality in the form of mind. Come and go. No reality. Cannot hold on. Cannot remain forever. When you are young, that family is different from what you are now. Because every moment is different. Your views, your opinion, your belief system, your conditioning, your physical body, everything changes. Then every moment, every instant, your senses, your thought process, your feeling, your emotion are different. They are in a state of flux. Everything is vibrating, your heartbeat, your pulse of life. Everything is moving. So which one is you? At any one time, it keep on changing, evolving in a state of flux. That's why you are a condition arising in tea. That one is not real.
You know, the wrong view was like, actually all that,
like,
it's changing,
Yeah, well, when you use the thought to rationalize, you will not go in deeper. When you silent and found out inside there, all this vibration, everything without word, you then, everything is in a state of flux, nothing. Who are you? What are you apart from the happy pumping and all that? You are nothing. So when you realize you are nothing, you are nobody, without thought, you are really that nature which is nothing. Then you will understand. All along, how come living being is so deluded?
Last topic, but the intention is not. Actually, I just want to report what happened last time. Right, but last time, having this problem, I remember that time quite few.
toddler, then I luckily I was my friend lah, he was like teaching me how you do, like, you know, if anything set arise, the time set arise, write down, whatever, like, angle, hit, whatever, write down, whatever.